Cade Metz is a technology correspondent with the New York Times, covering artificial intelligence, driverless cars, robotics, virtual reality, and other emerging areas. He is the author of the new book, Genius Makers, The Mavericks Who Brought AI to Google, Facebook, and the World. The book is a human, suspenseful read that takes readers through the world of AI and how it came to be to where it might be taking us, examining the big questions about privacy, security, and bias through the prism of the eccentric intellects who shape the field. It is a primer for anyone wanting to understand AI from the beginning. Again, the name of the book is Genius Makers, The Mavericks Who Brought AI to Google, Facebook, and the World. And we welcome Cade Metz to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Given that you have obviously covered technology for a long time, what brought you to this specific story of wanting to go inside Google and Facebook and the like to tell this story of AI?
Well, we've had a tremendous amount of change in this area, progress in many ways, over the past decade. And basically, there's this single idea which has allowed Siri, for instance, to recognize the words that you say as you speak commands into your iPhone and other services to recognize objects and images. So this is how self-driving cars work, how they can see the world around them. And this one idea was basically nurtured by this tiny group of people over the decades. And then around 2010, it started to work. And those people were, you know, in no short order, sucked into some of the biggest companies on earth, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Apple. And I became fascinated with this tiny group of people and their efforts to build this technology and how their efforts and their ideals kind of clashed with the aims of these companies.
So what is it that started to work, that got the ball rolling?
This one idea that I mentioned, it's called a neural network. And it's basically a mathematical system that can learn skills by analyzing data. So the example I always give is, if you take thousands of cat photos and you feed them into a neural network, it analyzes those photos and it learns to recognize the patterns that identify a cat. And that's the way it's able in the end to recognize what a cat looks like. It's the same with the voice commands on Siri. You have a neural network and you feed spoken words into it, and it learns the patterns that define the words that we humans speak. It's this same idea that's driving so much of the change, and it's a key development, because in the past, essentially, machines were not able to learn in this way, and now they are. And in learning, they're able to progress at a rate that was never possible in the past.
You write quite a bit in the book about the competition between all of the interests in this, the shareholder value, the pursuit of this scientific knowledge, the national interests, of course. Talk a little bit about that competition and what indeed made it so fierce.
Well, as this technology started to work, many of the biggest companies on earth, jumped on it immediately. And that includes not just American companies, but a major player in China called Baidu. It's often called the Google of China. From the beginning, you had a new kind of arms race for this technology. And even with companies like Google and Facebook, we may think of them as American companies, but they're now very much global companies, and their aims are going to differ, the aims, for instance, of the U.S. government. So you have this very complicated mix now, where this technology is progressing, and you have so many stakeholders, some driven by profit, others driven by their ideals and where they want the world to go, and then governments trying to compete, not only in the marketplace, but in terms of military applications and other applications very important to some of the biggest governments on Earth.
Cade Metz is our guest on the roundtable this morning. The name of the new book is Genius Makers. So who makes up the Genius Makers?
You know, my central character is a man named Jeff Hinton, who was born in England and eventually made his way to the U.S. and Canada. And, you know, he embraced this idea of a neural network in the early 70s when no one thought it would work. Even his own colleagues in the AI field, in computer science, questioned whether this idea would ever work. And as this idea sort of rose and fell in the estimation of those around him over the decades, he just continued to work on it until it finally worked, like I said, around 2010. Mm. But he's also just a fascinating individual. He is someone who literally does not sit down. He's had a back problem for decades now. And what that means is that he cannot drive a car. He cannot fly in a plane. And this plays into his efforts to bring this technology to these companies we talked about. He, in a couple of cases, he made these pilgrimages across North America to bring his technology to Google and to Microsoft. And he had to take the train because that's the only way that he can travel.
Mm. What did he make of what his idea was, what he had been working on for so long, and how it would be applied practically to a company that obviously is worried about the bottom line?
Well, in some cases, his ideals and his vision for the technology really clashed with these companies. You know, the prime example is that he had actually left the United States in the 80s and moved to Canada because he realized the only way to develop AI technology in the United States was to take money from the Defense Department, from the military, and he didn't want to do that. He didn't want his technology to be used by the military. But after another couple decades passed, and he was actually hired by Google and moved into this giant company, not too long after that, Google started working with the military and applying this very technology to a military project. And this is just one example that you see not only with Jeff, but with the other few scientists who worked on this idea. They had a distinct vision, many of them, for what this technology should be used for and what it shouldn't. And that often clashes with the aims of these companies.
So how is that overcome? Or isn't it?
Well, we're still struggling to deal with these questions. You know, should we build autonomous weapons? And that's what this is about. That's a means of surveillance and reconnaissance in the military, but it's also a way of identifying targets and building autonomous weapons that can be used on the battlefield. There are real concerns there. In so many quarters, and we're not sure, you know, what we should do there. At the moment, it does require this partnership between these very large tech companies and the U.S. government. Some companies have resisted that; others had not. You know, these are big questions of our time. You know, another big one is the surveillance question. Facial recognition technology is driven by this same idea. And we're starting to see this deployed not only in the U.S., but abroad. China is using this to identify an ethnic minority. You know, these are concerns that we're struggling with, not only as a country, but as a planet.
So part of the concern comes from big tech and how they have already responded, if you will, to social responsibility and what has happened thus far. So we're right to be concerned, right?
We are in many areas, and I think you know, anyone who has lived over the past 4 years can see, you know, how technology can have unintended consequences and how it can really affect our daily lives in ways we didn't expect. And these, you know, you know, things like social media are relatively simple technologies, and we've seen these issues pop up. What happens when the technology is more powerful and more complicated? The issues, the problems are going to become greater. As we deploy all sorts of technologies, we need to think about where they can go wrong, as well as where they can go right.
When it comes to going right, you can't help, and obviously I understand all of the concerns, but it's also impossible in reading this book of just being wowed by how cool this all is too. Yes, it can be scary, but it also just is fascinating.
It's absolutely fascinating. You're right. But also so important in so many ways. And the example that I give, in this area is this same technology, this same idea can help us with drug discovery. And we've seen this recently. There's been a lot of progress where this idea can help in the biological sciences, help us to develop medicines or repurpose medicines we already have for new uses. And this, anyone can relate to now because of the pandemic we've all lived through, where we had this new virus and we needed to respond to it quickly. What the technology is pointing to is a world where we can respond to the next virus even quicker than we did this time, because it will be easier to not only build a vaccine, but to take the medicines that have already been approved for other things and apply them. This same technology helps us recognize where these medicines can be redeployed. That's very, very important. And that's just one area where this technology can really help us in big ways.
We talked at the beginning about fierce competition. A lot of that was between scientists, but also about between nations as well. So give us a sense of what that picture looks like, and as the rest of the world tries to figure out this technology as well.
Well, we can think about, within our borders controlling certain technologies, but the way that this has played out over the last decade is that so many other countries have access to these same ideas, and they have access to similar talent, and they have access to the data needed to train these systems. China is the prime example. It has such a large population. And like I said, from the beginning, they have been interested in this technology, and they have poured enormous amounts of money into it. So this is a global change. And what that means is as we think about how this technology is deployed and we think about the concerns, this is something that we need to think about as a society as a whole. Autonomous weapons is, again, a prime example. We can think about banning autonomous weapons or certain types of autonomous weapons. But if we're going to do that, that needs to be done across the planet, right? Because if you ban such weapons here in the U.S., that just means that our rivals are going to develop them.
So I'm curious as to who makes these monumental decisions, because as we talk about, we have to look at this. We have to make sure what we're doing is proper for the moment. Who makes those decisions? How is that met? And who ultimately takes responsibility, especially when anyone in political power, at least evidenced by countless hearings, don't seem to understand what they're talking about?
Yeah, that's part of the difficulty, is that the decisions in many cases are made in industry, because that's where the technology is, that's where the money is, and that's where the real change is. And you're right, that technology is progressing at a rate that it's hard for people outside the field to understand it, including regulators. But there are real efforts to change that, to better educate those in government, and to better train and fund work inside the government, so the government can, in a sense, keep up with industry and not be so reliant on the decisions of these companies. It's really a situation where, society at a whole needs to think about this. The tech companies, as well as government, as well as individuals, right? These are things that touch all of us. Whether it's Siri or the threat of surveillance, we need to think about this as a people, as a whole. And we're still struggling to do that.
The name of the new book is Genius Makers, The Mavericks Who Brought AI to Google, Facebook, and the World. Cade Metz, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Genius Makers. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.